Welcome back to RBKD. Last hour of the show for us. Actually, last hour of the week for us officially on this show. But, of course, tomorrow we will have live shows. So me and my man KD are going to be out, but we'll have some guest hosts for you for the morning show and for RBKD. Also, Craig Way is going to be hosting Light the Tower. Craig Way is, and Jeff is actually going to be.
Jeff's off.
Yeah, he's covering basketball, I believe, actually.
Basketball tomorrow night, 7:30.
Yeah, so Jeff's going to be covering. So he won't be with Craig, but they tried to give Craig the day off, and Craig refused.
I like how Jeff pulled that, though. I like how Jeff pulled that. I'll be covering basketball. Yeah, our show's from 10 to 12. But I got to get down to the traffic won't be bad.
I got some basketball. I think Jeff just took the day off.
No, like, he deserves it.
When they gave us the day off, and Craig, like I said, Craig was like, nah, I got obligations.
Yeah. Don't forget, Craig is also doing Longhorn Weekly. We're doing Longhorn Weekly 5 to 6 with Sark, then running to the Irwin Center to do the basketball game, and then Longhorn Weekly will air after the basketball game.
So he functions off chaos.
So you're telling me, thank you, Patrick, for actually bringing even more context to this. So Craig's got to call the game and do Longhorn Weekly. He could have used a show off, but he's like, nah, I need to work. Man, I love Craig. I'm saying hardest working man at ARN.
And you know Friday what he's going to do.
What?
You know Friday he's going to do the game and somehow get to Dallas
to do the high school football show. Yeah, you're right.
And then come back for the women's game, which is Saturday.
And Patrick, do you know if he flies or drives? Sometimes
he drives as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, he does.
He loves driving.
And that's why IMG loves him. He saves him so much money. He's like, nah, I'll drive. And most guys would be like, I need first class tickets everywhere I go. Greg was like, nah, I'll just drive.
No, I know he did. He did last weekend from West Virginia to Tennessee for the women's game. Drove right after the game. Drove down to Tennessee for the game. And then flew back from Tennessee.
But he drove.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to stop at a famous Waffle House on the way there. Yeah. So he heard good things about it.
They've got the best squirrel this side of the Mississippi. I bet they do.
No, Craig is, like I said, hardest working man at the station is Craig Way. And then Snoop, that's probably right behind him. Honestly, my man Patrick Davis is in that conversation,
Patrick is.
Patrick works his tail off.
Patrick will not be doing the show tomorrow. We were looking forward to that. But Patrick's got just other stuff.
Yeah, so let's be fair. The reason I'm not is because I will be with Craig all afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason is because I have to go set up all the equipment everywhere.
Just talk about giving people the day off, and Patrick's like, no, I don't get the day off. I wasn't given that option, guys. So,
no.
Yeah, Patrick works hard for
We jumped on it.
What?
That was a quick yes.
Oh, man.
I got to give a shout-out to Chad, because Chad called me probably a week and a half ago
PD?
And said, this is what I'm thinking. And so I said, well, I got some good BS material for you to give the bosses. I throw
I'm
this
good
out
at that.
There.
I'm
right.
good at that.
Yes. I've got an Achilles problem. Achilles problem. I need the bubble guts. I'm going to have the bubble guts.
I'm going to have them Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So I'm going to need that day off.
Why? Because I'm trying eggnog ice cream.
Oh, well done. Come on, it's Bluebell. Don't be disrespecting
I like Bluebell. I just don't like eggnog.
Nah, I don't either. That's not – I mean, I like Bluebell, but I don't even like their vanilla. So.
Because you've never had it.
I don't like anybody's vanilla.
Because you've never had it.
Except my wife's. Bow. You got to get the inside joke.
That was good.
Come on.
That was good.
All right, that's moving on.
Extra frozen.
Moving on. All right, the college football NFL weekend. A lot of we can start with the NFL. There are a lot of interesting matchups in the NFL. I think a few of them, actually. One of the ones that I think is going to be really interesting, at least for us, we've been talking about. See, everybody loves the koozies. The Buccaneers at the Colts. We've talked about
that's
how
good parent right there, right away.
Great parent.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understood. Yeah. but no, we're having a great time out here at this this Randall's here. It's fantastic. My favorite Randall's, I'll admit that.
It's mine, too.
It's been really, really good. But getting back to the NFL, a little news, notes, and nuggets. I think three games that I'm going to be paying attention to. I'm going to try to get a chance to watch them. I don't know how. The Bucs at the Colts. The Titans at the Patriots. Only because I just want to see if the Patriots are going to continue to be the most impressive team in the AFC.
Yeah, or maybe football right now.
That's possible, too. You're right.
I mean, the NFC, Arizona would be right.
Arizona is right there. But Arizona, without Kyler Murray, even though Cole McCoy's been playing really well.
Which is impressive. They're 2-1 with Cole.
Without DeAndre Hopkins, too. That's a deep team. That's got some talent, and they got some edge to them. But, man, the Patriots are just so interesting. They remind me of the 2001 Patriots.
Yeah, you've said that. I see
it. Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. They really do. Remember, they got a great defense. They're led by a running game. They still use a fullback like they did back then.
Yep.
Use 21 personnel, and they got a young quarterback.
They got a good offensive line.
Great. Actually, it's top five, I think, in the NFL
right
now.
It is. And they got some weapons outside. Yep. Mac Jones, they're opening up the playbook for him.
Young quarterback.
This is a fun Patriots team right now. And I'm not a Patriots guy. I've respected what they did, but I never necessarily really loved watching them play. I'll give them a ton of love. They look great.
Yeah, I think now you also have Belichick with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, too, after Tom Brady, the GOAT, did what he did, went to Tampa Bay, won the Super Bowl in his first year. We get it. He's the GOAT. But what was the narrative after that? Oh, at least now we know it was more Brady than Belichick. Brady was the reason that the Patriots were great. Brady was he was the central force right behind that dynastic run. And I think most of us, and you included, myself, we were like, oh, of course it's both. What are you talking about? It's both. You got to have one with the other. I mean, that's what made the dynastic run so long and unique and special.
Yes, during the salary cap.
Yeah, one of y'all just won a Super Bowl or maybe two on your own. But together, you guys won six. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are at a different level, different stratosphere. So I think for Belichick, that's what this season is about to him. I think he's trying to prove that, well, I actually am the GOAT, too. He's the GOAT. Give him his props.
We're both the GOATs.
But we're both the GOATs. We're two GOATs.
Yes.
Just hanging out, having a good time.
Two GOATs just munching on grass.
All right.
That's what GOATs do.
They are. Remember the kid? Remember, Patrick Mahomes was supposed to be the kid, the baby goat.
Oh, yeah.
Baby goat's called a kid.
Yep.
Everybody was talking about the goat and the kid. Yeah. We still may get that rematch, actually.
It is. Too soon with the whole goat stuff when someone's that young. The NBA's king of
but
that.
But we did it with LeBron.
Someone goes for like 28 points. He's the goat. Go to what?
We did it with LeBron.
That game?
It was true with LeBron. He's not the goat.
He's not the goat, though.
But they called him the king, and he was pretty close to, you know, being the king. I mean, he fulfilled a lot
LeBron,
of those expectations.
I'll give you.
But you're right. Most of the time.
Would have loved to see LeBron get his ass kicked.
Wow.
And that dude, he didn't want that smoke.
He did not.
That guy wanted to fight. That was old school NBA.
LeBron would have got beat.
Usually NBA is all fake fights now. That guy wanted some.
That was likes to fight guy.
Yes.
I've seen that look before.
He wanted to go.
And usually when you see that look, you get the hell out of the way.
Get out.
Yeah. No,
and LeBron did.
Yeah, LeBron knew. And
I never saw LeBron in any of those shots. I saw people in between them.
LeBron was, you didn't see LeBron having to be, you know, held back.
No.
Nobody had to hold him back. He knew, I don't want any of that. And I agree. LeBron was shady. That was a shady move by LeBron. I'm a LeBron fan.
It was.
And
it was cheap.
That was dirty. That was dirty.
And then to reach out.
And
I'm sorry about that.
It was unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Come on, LeBron.
All right. I threw us off there.
You did.
Back to
LeBron
NFL.
LeBron hatred.
Back to NFL.
But, yeah, we're talking about the Patriots. And I do. I think the Patriots right now, man, if I had to pick the team in the AFC, I know it sounds crazy. I think the Patriots are in the same conversation with the Chiefs, in my opinion, right now. I could pick either of them to make it to the AFC title game right now and feel confident in it.
Adrian Phillips has been cool to watch him with the Patriots.
That's a Pro Bowl year this year. He's starting off.
A fantastic year.
He might be having a Pro Bowl year. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So that's a big game. That's a game that I'm looking at. And also
Packers-Rams.
Packers-Rams. Thank you very much. Packers-Rams. That's a game that – I mean, right now, the Rams are one of those teams.
Rams need this.
They seem to be more of an accumulation of talent than an actual team.
Yeah.
And that could just take time, right? Urban Meyer once famously said, hey, man, I try to build a team, not just accumulate talent. And I think they have been in the accumulation of talent phase rather than building a team phase. What's the difference? Well, Chris Beard, right, has accumulated a ton of talent on the Texas basketball team. But he's talked about how these guys need to learn how to play different roles at different times, different situations on the floor. And within that framework, right, learn when you need to step up and be the key figure for the offense, or when you need to be the central facilitator, right? You need to be the assist man, whatever it needs to be. And these guys are still figuring out their roles. I think that's what's happening with the Rams. I think that guys just don't really know where they fit with the Rams just yet. But how can it fail when you bring in Odell Beckham Jr. with Von Miller to add with Aaron Donald?
Are you adding two guys, though, when you're thinking about their past?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know about chemistry. Chemistry is something
Von Miller's not the same Von Miller.
Totally agree.
Beckham's not either.
That's true, but they're still talented.
They're still
guys.
Talented. Yeah.
I think they're still upgrades, right?
From yeah, what you they had are. Before. You're right.
My question will be about the chemistry because they just don't seem to be fitting all together. The pieces don't seem to fit right now.
I'll say it again. Robert Woods being out, that's why they brought in OBJ. Robert Woods being out has been huge for that offense. And I've said it for the last couple of years, I don't buy their offensive line. I mean, you've got 40-year-old Andrew Whitworth at left tackle, and the interior of the offensive line, David Edwards, the old 3A high school quarterback from Grove Park, Illinois, I believe. When I was going down my deep dive of Wisconsin linemen, when I was trying to figure out the Texas.
You did a deep dive of Wisconsin linemen?
Last year,
you have
a huge
sickness,
one.
Sir.
A huge
you have
one.
A sickness.
And David Edwards was a 3A high school quarterback at the rural parts of Chicago. And they brought him in, and he ended up becoming like an All-American tackle. He's one of their guards.
He played quarterback in high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
6'6".
Good athlete.
Brought
then.
Him in as a tight end, and and just kept on eating, kept on adding weight. He's their left guard. He's pretty good, but it's the center and Blythe and then the other right guard. They can get punked in the middle.
Yeah, that's why they actually lead the NFL in empty formation. You know, I know it sounds, you know, kind of obtuse for people when you hear, like, empty formation actually helps you in
no
pass protection. It does. Actually, all the studies have proven it.
As long as the quarterback gets the ball out of his hands.
Yes, you can't have an idiot quarterback. He's got to understand, hey, it's all about timing, getting the ball out quickly.
Jared Goff, I wouldn't go empty.
And they didn't with Jared Goff.
They couldn't.
With Matt Stafford, they go a lot more empty, but I think it's because of the issues you brought up on the offensive line. Sean McVay understands that. But this is the reason you picked – in the Super Bowl, I remember it clearly because I should have picked with you. You picked the Tampa Bay Bucks over the Kansas City Chiefs, and when we asked you about your rationale, you said it's simple, about the line of scrimmage. If you got second and third string offensive linemen starting on your O-line going up against starting defensive linemen on the other side, and they were getting Viavea back, you said this is easy. This is a no-brainer, guys.
And if you would have told me that Todd Bowles was going to break what he usually does and have the perfect game plan, that would have been much easier.
That would have been much easier. Now that,
once I saw that, I thought, oh, this is
that game
over
plan
with.
Belongs in the Hall of Fame.
It does.
Really, it really does. But I
talk about breaking tendency.
Right? But similarly, in this matchup too, Green Bay going to be on their third-string left tackle?
Yeah.
That can't be good news. That just can't – that's why I'm taking – I think the Rams will pull out the win. And you know it's on the road, too. It's in Green Bay, correct?
It's in Green Bay.
Man –
Green Bay's defense.
I know. I like the D, and I love Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be angry because he came off the disappointing loss to Minnesota where they should have won that game. They had one missed interception, another dropped interception. But, man, third-string left tackle. That's hard to get over. That's going up against Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Man, I don't know. That's tough. I don't know. It's hard to overcome that. But if anybody can do it, Aaron Rodgers can do it.
Browns-Ravens. Browns have just been an S show. They're 5-5, but they're still in this thing. I mean, if you look at the division, and they're going to be at the Ravens. Ravens have been weird this year if you go through stuff. I mean, obviously they've had some. You mentioned this, and I think you're right. Almost every team has a really bad loss in the NFL this
Ugly
year.
Ugly loss.
Like, it's like, what?
Yeah. Inexplicable. Just like
Titans, Texans.
Yeah, just hard to explain. I totally agree with you on that. And, yeah, I'm trying to think of the one team that doesn't have that kind of loss on their resume. But the Patriots had theirs early on. But you're right. I think that's what's muddying the picture for everybody. Buffalo, to me, remember three or four weeks ago, we
Buffalo's
had a discussion.
Just not that good, man.
Which is mind-blowing to me because I assume.
I did too.
That, oh, no, Buffalo, they're going to pick up where they left off last year. But some of those issues they had last year, like their inability to run the football, are now glaring issues. The first day were just like, oh, no, that's just subtle. There's little cracks in the foundation. They'll fix those issues. They'll remedy that. No, they haven't. They're actually now, it's glaring, they cannot run the ball. Josh Allen's their best rusher, actually, in terms of being able to have a productive running
game. He is their run game.
It's crazy.
And so that's putting too much pressure on him. But as Rod said, this is good. We talked a little bit of Raiders, Cowboys earlier. That line's gone up to 7.5. Did you lay that? You've been Black Stradamus with the Cowboys and their lines.
Yeah, that's interesting. They got so many guys out. I don't know if CeeDee Lamb going to play. That would make a huge difference if I knew if he was going to play. No Amari Cooper is going to be out. Tyron Smith, do we know if he's going to play?
He should play. He almost played last week.
So I'm going to say, if you have Tyron Smith and CeeDee Lamb, I would take the Cowboys to cover that spread, but I'm not sure if they're going to have either of those guys. And without DeMarcus Lawrence, without Neville Gallimore, without Randy Gregory, defensive line is still, even though Michael Parsons is playing like a man possessed, still struggling to provide consistent pressure. And I worry about if the Raiders, who can't run the ball this year, if they'll find a way to run the ball against the Cowboys, that could completely change the game.
It could, but Jacobs has struggled. They haven't had a run game, and now they've had no deep threat. You really see the defense closing down. Mm-hmm. And you talk about it all the time. You say, hey, You were saying it with Sark this year. Just take some shots. I don't care if it's incomplete.
Yep.
Stretch that defense out of it. Have that threat there. And with Ruggs out, the threat's not there.
Yeah.
Dallas should be able to play this thing in a closet.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I agree with that. And then we know Dan Quinn can make some great adjustments. And also, I love the way he's been using the safeties that can help you out in the run game. The Raiders just don't have enough threats to really threaten
look
the Cowboys, in my opinion.
Look
wow.
at this guy. You are the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
What's
that.
What's your name?
Jim.
Thank you very much.
Jim, just
we appreciate it.
Just hooked us up.
Yeah. Little Miller
Lite.
Start the
weekend off
Light.
Right. Thank you, Jim. You are the man. It's a beautiful thing. I got to tell you, the fans, when they bring you your favorite beer, it makes you feel like they've been listening to you.
They have been.
Well, they actually listen to you. It makes you, it warms my cockles, if you will. All right.
Warms your cockles? Where did that come from?
It's a holiday saying.
That's the whitest, like, 1940 thing I've ever heard in my life.
I got
life.
It from my white friends. Warm my cockles.
Warm my cockles?
Yeah, I don't even know what a cockle is.
It's
I
the cockles
don't
of my
know
heart,
either.
Brad. Cockles of my heart.
That's what I said, my cockles.
You got to add the of my heart part of it, or it sounds really weird.
No. It's warm your cockles. That's what the saying is.
I think Patrick's right.
Yeah, you can add of your heart, but you're like nobody's. They don't say warm your cockles. I believe they say warm your cockles. Yeah, I'm serious.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You have never heard the saying.
I've heard the cockles, but I've heard it with heart.
Not all the time.
You know what that means, sir? Warm your cockles.
Yeah. It means, like, it's heartwarming.
Okay.
I love how I've explained white sayings to white people.
No, it's just an old white saying that
that's
shouldn't
what I'm
be
saying.
Around.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's not a positive white saying at all.
Warm your cockles isn't positive. It's warm. It's
that just
heart,
sounds stupid.
It's another term for heartwarming.
Okay, would you say heartwarming next time?
See? I love that I have to break out the white words for white people. Flabbergasted.
You do.
You guys are trying to, you guys are trying to kill the old English language. I'm trying to bring it back.
You're whiter than any of us. Take that as a compliment for us.
It warms my cockles.
It warms something up.
There you go.
Hey, I know Asco warms your cockles.
That is not the transition. I was about, but thank you very much.
That works. I get the sense Bedlam is what you're most excited about with college football.
I can't wait.
Even over Ohio State, Michigan.
For me, it is because I.
Because you think it'd be more competitive?
Well, that's part of it. I do, actually. I think it's going to be tough on Michigan because right now Ohio State's rolling. They're playing their best football of the season right now.
Ohio State could beat Georgia tomorrow. Like, those are the two best. They could. Those are the two best teams in the country. And this is what I've been saying about JT Daniels. And they've been slow playing this all year. If Georgia gets to a spot where they get into that game, the national championship game, and you're facing someone who's rolling like you are, you're going to need some offense. And they haven't needed that all year long. So they've got our boy just running around, who's a good player, Stetson Bennett. But
yeah, but he's playing on guts and glory mostly.
Exactly.
Like I agree with you. He's not a high level prospect.
Guy. He does run around pretty well.
No, he does. And it's people want to call him a sneaky athletic.
Poor white guy with cockles. But
are those the goggles or cockles?
That's a good call there. Good call there. But they could get in that spot. Ohio State is playing that good of football right now. And a lot of it's their defense. Their defense has come around. The offensive line has gotten better. Travion Henderson is the real thing at tailback to go with three NFL receivers. And C.J. Stroud is on a different level right now.
I didn't expect you to say that. Think Ohio State can beat Georgia right now?
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait to watch that game.
I think they could. Are you an Ohio State fan?
Yeah.
There it is. Understandably so.
Yeah. We like Garrett Wilson, too.
Yeah, we do.
I wish he could have chosen Texas, but he's a smart
kid. But he made the right move.
He's a smart kid who understands talent development.
Made the right move, man.
But, no, I'm with you. I actually didn't expect you to say that. I remember you saying earlier this week that you thought Georgia was the only team that had the personnel to be able to cover those three potential first-round wide receivers for Ohio State. But now – you think Ohio State can beat Georgia?
I would probably beat Georgia tomorrow.
You've called that defense the best defense since the Bama defense of 2009.
Yeah, it's one of the best defenses I've seen. It is a great defense. But if you're going to beat them, you're going to beat them with NFL wideouts. The question is protection, if they can protect. But get those guys spread out and take some shots, they could beat them.
Who's blocking Jordan Davis?
Oh, God. That's a good question. No, the Ohio State offensive line would have some problems. I may watch a quarter of that game and be like, all right, they just can't get the ball out of their hands.
No, but I'm with you. I trust Ryan Day's ability to give them to scheme around.
I do too.
Right? They're on the liabilities, if you will.
He moves the pocket so well. That pocket is constantly moving,
which makes it tough to rush the pass.
They run a lot of floods. Mm-hmm. They run just a lot of sprint outs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, you don't know where that launch pad is.
It's a great point. Hard to collapse the pocket when it's constantly moving.
Right.
I don't know
where the pocket's going to be.
I cannot wait for that matchup now because I know you watch as much college football as anybody I know. And I know you're
a historian. It could be an all-timer, man.
But
it really could.
For you to say that, yeah, because, I mean, that defense is – I mean, that is elite. We're talking about a generationally good defense for Georgia. And now you're talking about potentially a generationally good offense for Ohio State.
You're right. And that's the matchup. It's one of the best offenses we've seen in a long time. It may be the best defense we've seen in years. But like a lot of matchups – you could maybe look at the other side and say, okay, well, the key could be that Georgia offense going up against the Ohio State defense. How much can Georgia really get on them?
Ooh, I'm with you on that. That's a good question. And the Georgia
offense.
Like
I said, I'm probably taking Georgia tomorrow, but Ohio State can beat them.
Todd Monken. Yeah. No, that to me, you're right. You may have these two strengths cancel each other out, and what may determine ultimately the winner of that game is going to be the two weaknesses of each team, which is the offense for Georgia and the defense for Ohio State. But the Ohio State defense has been trending in the right direction the last month or so.
Man.
Yeah, now they're playing with a lot more confidence.
Without Kerry Combs dialing stuff up, too. All right, we'll get to our Supreme Lending picks coming up next. So we got some college and pro stuff, and we'll get to that. This is RBKD. This is The Horn.
Okay,
we got to do this here.
No, I don't think we
Come
can
on.
Do it.
Let's
do
Come
it.
On.
No.
Just try it. Just
no.
give it a shot. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt.
I'm not going to eat vanilla ice cream. I'm already getting nauseous looking at that.
All right, here's the train.
No.
Choo-choo, open your mouth.
Katie, looking at it is making me a little
Why are you so racist with food?
Already does a taste in my mouth.
There's not a racist bone in your body.
I'm a little nauseous looking at it. Like, honestly, take it. You got to put the top back on. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're very kind, sir, to bring us the ice cream. Thank you, sir. Mm. And it looks delicious ice cream. And it's not a racial thing at all, okay? Hey,
thank you, brother.
I love white women. I married a white woman. I love the white part of the chicken. My favorite part.
Yeah, you're wrong on that.
The white meat is my favorite part. Love white liquor. I don't even drink brown liquor. All right? Because white keeps me hype. The brown brings me down. So I love a lot of white things. What I don't like is white condiments and liquids. And that, when it melts, turns into a white liquid. And it is already making me a little queasy.
God, it is so mental for you.
Oh, it is.
It is
very
so mental.
It is mental.
So hey, mention this because I always peel back the onion and find something else about you. So your wife, when she makes anything that's white, she uses food dye?
Yes, I learned this like a couple of months ago, actually.
God, you got a great woman, man.
I do. When she makes like Alfredo sauce or whatever, she puts a little dye in there to make it browner. And so it's not white, and because she knows that I am anti-white when it comes to my condiments and stuff. So I don't like white gravy either. I only want brown gravy guy, but I don't discriminate. You should have both gravies at your restaurant if you are a top-notch restaurant, brown and white, by the way.
And you got off the teat early.
Yes, my mom told me that, actually. This was a few years ago. My mom said, because I was talking about how weird it is that I don't like white condiments and I don't drink milk. People make fun of me. She said, it's strange you bring that up because me and your dad used to talk about all the time how you took yourself off the teat. Like, I rejected the teat as a child. I swear. And my mom said she was oppressed about it because you have to go to go to like a breastfeeding specialist and everything.
Well, she's probably thinking, what's wrong with me?
No, yeah, yo, she was. She was like, I thought it was something medical. I took you to specialist.
You know, the problem was it wasn't chocolate milk. It was a chocolate tea, but it wasn't chocolate milk.
Oh, usually I'd be upset if somebody's making a joke like that about my mother, but that was fantastic.
But because you drink chocolate milk.
I do.
Not a lactose issue.
No, I can. No,
this
it's not
is all mental.
Issue. It's all mental. Yeah, like I said, I saw the milk coming out of my mother's teat, and I rejected it. I was like, nope, I don't want that.
Well, you tainted it.
I'd say, well, no, she said I was drinking it for a while. I must have seen it. She said, I was literally drinking. She says, as a child, I was breastfeeding just fine. Everything was good. And she said, one day I rejected the teat. I said, no. And the theory now is that I saw it as a child and didn't like it.
And it was the last teat you rejected, first and last.
Right? I just lost his softballs to get
the only teat you rejected. You are. Please keep it
up. Patrick is back there right now. Like, he's trying to hold back. He's just got a couple of one-liners he's ready to throw in here at any time.
I feel like you're TJ Ford. I'm James Thomas, just
Patrick,
easy ones.
Let's give Patrick the floor. Yes, I'm sure Patrick has a one-liner. On Patrick, give it to us.
I'm completely dry. I've got nothing for you. I agree. Some white substances are gross, Rod.
But not
some
all
of them are gross.
Patrick.
No, not all of them.
Did you say you were dry? Was that a pun?
I think he was having fun with that.
I will say, Rod, it's going to blow your mind when you have good white gravy or good white ice cream or something, and then you realize and you have like sour cream or mayonnaise, and be like, yeah, that is still gross.
No, one day, you're right, I might try this in my 50 and be blown away, and then I'm eating vanilla ice cream.
You feel like you wasted life.
You're right. I could be that guy.
I'll say this.
Give it a shot.
I stopped. No. I won't try pie. I didn't like pie as a kid. I won't try pie now because I'm fat now, and I don't need to find out a love for pie at 37 years old. I don't need to find that out now. I can go buy a pie on the way home today. I don't need to know that I like it.
That is so Seinfeldian.
Pie's good.
I won't try pie.
Right.
I won't try. Hey, by the way, you and me, Patrick, we agree. I'm not a pie guy. I don't like pies and cobblers. They're overrated. I'm a cake.
Cobblers are
definitely
overrated.
I'm a cake guy, so cupcakes and
I like
cakes,
cake more.
But not pie. Pie
is chocolate
overrated.
Silk pie is phenomenal.
I like cheesecake, which is kind of pie-like.
It's pie-ish.
It's pie-ish. It's in the pie family.
And just color-wise, I mean, it's close to the
that
white
is true.
Spectrum.
Now, this is the weird thing. I like cheesecake, and it is white most of the time. But it's weird. I don't know. It's something about the cheesecake. Yeah, it's weird.
God,
about the
you are one.
I'm a weird dude, man.
Strange human being.
I don't know how I got a woman to marry me. It
well,
is so.
And especially a woman who's that cool to put food dye. I would tell you, I'd be like,
she does.
Yo, bro, get over that. You're going to either you want the pasta
I know.
Or no.
Trust me. And she never told me.
I know.
She only
She's
did it without me
it.
Knowing it. She's a fantastic
Well,
woman.
Kevin, I do think
did
we
did. Call
know,
her about?
We don't know that ahead, we get Patrick. To have a food dyeing taste test with Rod at some point. Where we're just going to food dye a bunch of things for him and let him try him for the first time.
That actually may be pretty good. I may be into that.
Hey, Rod, try this chocolate ice cream. It's a little too brown.
I know. That's the thing about it. If I have like hot cocoa, I can't drink the hot cocoa made with milk. It's got to be the hot cocoa made with water.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
Which is
Tell
not
you,
good.
There's so many levels to this, man. You guys have no idea. This is 40 years of eccentricity, man, just sitting in my head.
There's got to be a therapist who's listening. Can you help our boy out?
I know.
Please.
Don't we have a horn therapist? I think that's his name on the text line.
Do we really?
It's like a horn psychiatrist. He's like a real one. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into our pick'em games here.
Yeah, let's
Enough
do it.
Enough about white condiments and Rod B's eccentricity.
Doesn't like white condiments, but he loves white safeties. So
my
sure
eccentric nature. I do.
Out.
I love white safeties.
I know you do. You can
All
have
right.
them. I'll keep my vanilla ice cream.
Brendan, more schoolers out there. More Brendan schoolers. Come on.
Less.
Ohio State versus Michigan. Michigan hosting Ohio State. Number 4 versus number 6.
Ohio State. State.
Yeah, it's easy, right?
These are straight up, too.
Okay, easy
yeah,
for
Ohio
us.
State.
Oklahoma State. Oklahoma is 13th in the country. They will be on the road at Oklahoma State in Stillwater for Bedlam. You know how I feel about this. This is Oklahoma State for me all day, every day. They've covered 8 straight weeks. This is straight up. This isn't even about the spread. But I think Oklahoma State, this is the year that Gundy pulls it out against Oklahoma.
All right, because, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with history, and we're dealing with Oklahoma has just owned them. There have been other games during this stretch run where it's made sense, if you watch the teams all year, to say, we're taking Oklahoma State. At some point, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I bailed on that and said, no, I'm taking Oklahoma in this game. I don't care what the two teams have looked like. I don't care how I match this up in my head. This is hard for me to take Oklahoma State because of that.
You want to take Oklahoma?
No.
You have better gut feeling about college football than I do.
Yeah, I had bubble guts last week. About the type of feeling I had, so maybe I'm losing it.
Because I would say this, you've complained about Oklahoma all year long.
I have.
You're right. You've complained about them ever since the Tulane game.
Yes, I was telling you they're not as good as they usually are.
You said this from the Tulane game. They're not a college football playoff team.
Yep.
They're good enough to win the Big 12, but this is not one of Lincoln Riley's better teams. That's basically been your mantra and narrative all year. So it should make it easier to pick Oklahoma State here because you know they're flawed.
Let's take Oklahoma State.
You've been waiting on Oklahoma to get beat all year long.
I know. Let's take Oklahoma State.
Okay. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat that crow. But you've been complaining. I'm going kind of with your narrative, too, that Oklahoma is a very flawed team.
They are.
Yeah. Hopefully Oklahoma State, man, if Gundy loses this game.
If he wins this with Spencer Sanders as his quarterback and not really playing Gundy ball as we knew it. But Gundy is constantly evolving.
That's a great point. You're right. This would not be Gundy ball. This would be the antithesis, actually, of Gundy ball.
Run game, good defense, and we work around our quarterback.
That's a great point. Yep. No, and actually, I think it works for Gundy, strangely enough. All right, let's go to the
I tell you what. If Oklahoma wins, you're going to try vanilla ice cream. That'll be your bet.
Oh, man.
You thinking that, too?
What the hell?
Great minds.
Why do we have to do this? I don't know if I want me eating vanilla ice cream to rest on the shoulders of Oklahoma. Two Oklahoma schools. We got to do a different bet. I can't allow that to happen. Yeah. I am not saying I won't try vanilla ice cream on the show, but I can't allow it to be determined by two Oklahoma schools.
Okay.
Can we agree with that?
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Exactly. See? All right, let's go to NFL picks real quick. Raiders at the Cowboys. This one's tough. Raiders 5-5, Cowboys 7-3 coming off of the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Short week.
Cowboys.
Okay, I like that too. I think Tyron Smith is going to play.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to try to play. And the Cowboys, this is not a must win for them, but they're going to be playing with desperation in this game because if not, they're going to be losing three out of the last four. That is not good mojo for the Cowboys.
Totally agree.
Tampa Bay, 6-3 versus the Colts, 6-5.
This is the toughest one for me.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm leaning Tampa. Yeah, I'm leaning Tampa, too, because I can't see a Tom Brady team having two back-to-back weeks where they play subpar ball.
Right.
So they're practicing hard as hell right now. Brady's cussing people out, yelling at them. Bruce Arians already called them a low football IQ team.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. They bounce back.
Okay, we're taking Tampa.
I'm with you, and let's take Tampa. Rams at the Packers. Rams 7-3, Packers 8-3. Packers at home. Coming off a disappointing loss to the Vikings, probably should have found a way to win that game. But you'll have a motivated Aaron Rodgers. Still got a little bit of a toe injury, but he looks like he's good. No Bakhtiari. You pointed out they have their third
Jenkins
string.
Is out.
Yeah, left tackle starting there. And Aaron Jones, I think he's still going to be out too for the Packers. Rams, Packers, what are your thoughts?
If Packers is a smart pick. I kind of feel like taking the Rams, though.
I know. I'm worried about the left tackle position. At home with the Packers. This is a tough one. You should get us. Let's think this one over.
Yeah. Well, we don't have much time here.
Let me wait on some. Angie said we can turn them in tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
So
that's up in the air for us.
Yeah. Maybe give ourselves a night to sleep on and do some research on the injury report.
That'll work.
Okay.
All right. There's your Supreme Lending picks. We'll be back to tell you what's on tap and wrap it up.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good.
Pop a top again.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. Getting ready to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. Before we get out of here, we'll let you know what's on tap. Have to thank the fine folks here at Randall's for all their hospitality.
This was cool.
They've been great. I mean, we had employees dancing in the Starbucks line. It's been really, really cool. And all the fans that came out of it. This was one of the best remotes we've done all year long.
No doubt.
Strange to say that at the end of the year, but it was fantastic.
It was awesome. No, everything about it. Muskrats. Cool people.
Muskrats galore.
Got vanilla ice cream.
Got vanilla ice cream.
Try that.
Bud Light.
Beer.
beer, all kind of stuff. Good stuff, man. We appreciate all the fans that came out to say hi and all the ones that just came out to do some shopping and saw us here and was like, hey, I listen to you guys too. We appreciate all the love, man. Best part of this job is meeting the fans.
No doubt. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And definitely want to say thanks to all the people. Just our Horn family, right?
It is a family.
It's family.
Right. And you're listening, you're family too. That's what we're talking about.
Longhorn Blitz podcast coming up. Then 8 o'clock. Under the Lights.
Under the Lights!
Special edition. So if you like high school football, this is going to be cool. We're actually talking about a lot of the matchups, including Lake Travis and Vandergrift and Westlake and Bowie.
Central Texas
could
represent.
Could be meeting up next week.
Come on.
Those guys will definitely get into it. Big shout out to Trevor, also Jacob. Patrick.
Good job, fellas.
We love you, brother. Great
job
back there. And go kick some ass tomorrow. For Rod, I'm Kevin. We will talk to y'all on Monday. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving. Get some rest. Hang out with family. Eat some vanilla ice cream. Peace, y'all.